We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience.
Throws it down.
News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
Yo, what's good, Knicks Nation? Al Shuteris here, a.k.a. the Traticaster, on the check-in for this week's matchup between the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers. This is the Game of the Week preview. And with me today to help me break down this game is none other than Dave Early. But before we ask Dave how he's doing, make sure to hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Make sure to subscribe to all podcasts, wherever you get your podcast platform, or on Apple, Spotify, whatever. And make sure to share these videos and this content to help us out. But Dave, how you doing, man? How are you feeling today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I mean, the Sixers lost, but still hanging in there. How are you?
Doing all right, man. You know, the Knicks lost today too. So we're both on the same page. Sixers lost, Knicks lost. We lost to the Atlanta Hawks. So who'd you guys play? The Wizards, right? You played the Wizards today?
Yeah, Washington.
Oh, man. And you guys were on a nice three-game winning streak.
No Melton. That's right.
Tough, man. That's tough. But let's get into this Sixers preview, man. And I got a few questions before we really get into it. You know, we got the Adrian Wojnarowski report that the 76ers were losing their two second-rounders from the 2023 and 2024 for the early discussions with P.J. Tucker and Daniel House Jr. How do you feel about that, man? How's the fan base feel about that?
I think they feel the way any fan base who gets hit with one of these feels, like, why this team? Like, everyone knows that every team does this. Why? How do you just pick one? Was one more blatant than the other? Mm-hmm. Is that because, like, an agent leaked to the media? So it feels pretty arbitrary. I mean, we were talking about Jalen Brunson to the Knicks. I know they're looking into that issue, right? Like,
right.
Someone's dad was hired, someone's son at one point represented someone. So, like, that type of thing maybe raises eyebrows, as did the James Harden, like, $13, $14 million pay cut. That raises eyebrows. So if you look into that, I'm less surprised. But to look into, like, we contacted P.J. Tucker a couple of weeks ago, that just seems weird, because that, mm-hmm. I mean, when you watch those, if free agency opens at 6 p.m., we see 20 of these updates drop between 6 and 6.07, right?
Right.
We're not assuming they're all hashed out in those 5 minutes. So how do the NBA decide who and when to punish? I really don't get.
Yeah, it's very strange, man. And, you know, as you mentioned, the Knicks are going through their own investigation with Jalen Brunson, and that's still going through the works. The league is still trying to determine what happened. You know, for the Knicks standpoint, it's difficult because there's so many ties to Jalen Brunson. You know, Rick Brunson was Leon Rose's first client. Rick Brunson was then hired prior to Jalen Brunson being a player for the New York Knicks. There's just so many connections that it's so hard to say when negotiations even happened or if they even did happen, right? We just don't know, and there's so many connections. So as a Knicks fan, if the Knicks got penalized for that, it's, to me, do you have enough evidence that it was somewhere outside of like the normal course? Like, these guys also have dinner. Like, we can't, like, you know, they see each other like on a probably regular basis because of their connection. So it's very hard for the Knicks. But I totally understand the frustration with the 76ers losing 2 second-rounders. But I would say it's only 2 second-rounders, but second-rounders have now turned to where you can find some pretty good players. So to lose second-rounders, it's been tough. But I'm pretty sure the 76ers have enough of second-rounders, right, for those two draft classes where it won't be that much of a loss?
Yeah, we don't expect these guys, you know, they'd be somewhere in the 50s. I think the Sixers over the last couple of years, they took a guy like Charles Bassey who couldn't – you can't crack Doc Rivers' rotation unless you're playing like Tyrese Maxey, basically. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So in terms of the cost, it's not huge. I think there's a small part of me that was like, if they really dig deep into this relationship one of the co-owners had, Michael Rubin with James Harden, you remember he – kind of left, he sold his share in the team just before, and Woj was like openly saying this can help the Sixers in negotiations with James. Mm-hmm. So that was where my hackles went up, and I was like, uh-oh, what does that mean? Because you remember like back in the day, Minnesota was penalized like 4 draft picks for haggling with Joe Smith? So like you just didn't want something massive to happen. You didn't want to hear like they're losing a lot of stuff. So when you hear they're getting this basically slap on the wrist for Tucker, it's kind of like, all right, fine. Why us? But at least it's not a big deal.
That's true. But, you know, you guys got Tucker. You guys got Daniel House. You know, you still have James Harden. You got Joel Embiid. You got Max. You got all these guys. And you just mentioned how the Sixers lost today. How are you and the fan base feeling right now about the Sixers' start to the season? You know, we hear the narratives that there's some concerns. Doc Rivers on the hot seat. We're going to talk about that in a second. But how do you feel about the 76ers' start overall this season?
I mean, it's not great. I feel like we've kind of gotten thrown in on like one of those sneaky Friday news dumps that Joel Embiid dealt with plantar fasciitis all summer and was on his couch for 2 months. So you know how Sixers fans feel about Joe getting hurt. Like we're already scarred. So to hear that he's not ready to go, he's not in great shape because he was resting as the year started on the same notes that we last left off. He's got the broken orbital bone. He's got a torn thumb. It's tough. So you see them playing these games without him. They did overachieve in a few of those. Like Maxey went berserk 7 of 7 from 3 and like a half. But on the whole, like, there's a very, very high injury risk profile with this team. You got to get Joe healthy for the playoffs. You need James Harden to be there, too. You need Maxey, and you need Tucker. The chances that all of them are good to go, 100% healthy, come April, I can't feel great about it. I don't love how they've looked with this coach at any point since he got here. I'm not feeling like this is the team, but because of the struggles with the Nets, because of the struggles with the Heat, you got to like their chances atop that pecking order ultimately.
For sure. And do you think this team will gel? Do you think there's going to be moves there upcoming later in the season? What are your thoughts right now from what you see from the Sixers?
Yeah, both. I think they will gel. I think they need some time. I'm not sure if you have watched them much, but they are clearly trying a little bit more of a switch everything defense, kind of like Miami plays, and a little bit less of the deep drop coverage that Milwaukee plays. So they have Joe chasing a little bit further out on the perimeter, and there are some like massive gaffes where just like, okay, everyone forgot to guard Kuzma, and he just drained a wide open 3 because we literally haven't rehearsed this type of defense much. So that stuff will come with time. It's not going to be an overnight thing. So the gelling, I think, will come. What was the other part of your question in terms of?
Do I think they're going to make a move for another player or move some players off this team? Because it could be a clunky fit. You may need another player to come in to make it more seamless. Do you think there will be a move coming up later in the season?
They need to. I mean, the guys that you'd think of on the smaller end are like Korkmaz, Matisse Thybulle. They've already tried shopping those guys. They wanted to send like three or four of them for an Eric Gordon on draft night, remember?
Mm-hmm.
They wound up getting DeAnthony Melton. So definitely could see a smaller end deal. Sixers fans want Doc Rivers to play Paul Reed more when Joel Embiid sits, but he loves Trez. You know, he loves Montrez. That goes back to the bubble. They've got their relationship, sixth man of the year. So maybe Paul Reed gets thrown in there. On the bigger end, if you really wanted to shake it up, finding a way to move Tobias Harris might make some sense. Don't know what type of return they could get. He does still make $38 million next year, but maybe a team would look at him like an expiring and a half come the trade deadline. You know, I don't know if that would be a rebuilding team with a couple guys to send, maybe better fitting rotation pieces. But that's something to explore for sure.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, with this team right now, that you know, the focal points are obviously James Harden and Joel Embiid. And did Embiid play tonight? Or
no.
Was he out?
Out his second game with non-COVID flu.
Okay. So between last season when the Sixers traded for James Harden and this season, do you see that pairing work? Has it shown any promise so far, or does it look like a clunky fit?
The fit itself is good. Like their pick and roll is at times unstoppable. The problems come with the stuff we've already talked about with the injury stuff. Like there's a lot of talk about Harden's burst. We're watching him play now. He has flashed much healthier than he did last season. And so when he's healthy, he's on. Like he's really hard to beat, and that pairing is dynamic. But then, you know, they're playing him like 38 plus minutes a game. I think coming in tonight's slate, he was fourth in the entire league in minutes played. A lot of that's because they had an extra game or two than other teams. But I don't think that they have the right approach. I think he's more of a guy you want to load manage a little bit at this point to keep him fresh. In terms of on the court concerns, they both have that hero ball tendency. You know, Joe wants to get his ISO post ups, and Harden does love to dribble the air out of the ball. The ball can stick when you get them both out there. So I'm sure the plus minus, if Daryl Morey was on with us, he'd be like, well, look at this. We're just blowing teams out when they're out there together. But the film test, you saw it against Milwaukee Bucks in the second game of the season. The ball can stick.
Yep. For sure. Absolutely. So, you know, with that being said, like you have Harden there, you have Embiid there. And prior to Harden even joining the team, you had Tyrese Maxey. Did anything change with Maxey, like his role on this team and now Harden entering? Because you mentioned, you know, you have Harden who wants to dominate the ball. You have Joel Embiid who needs his touches. And Maxey, from what I saw, you know, I like how he was running the point guard. You know, he was a guy who likes to get downhill. You know, he's a gamer. I like that about him. You know, Knicks fans were looking at him when it came to the draft. Obviously, we got his running mate from Kentucky, Emmanuel Quickly, who the fan base also loves too. So do you think there's a dynamic shift with how Maxey plays the game now? Or do you think there's limited touches because of James Harden? Like, what's changed with his role?
I think Harden has really helped him. There was that funny tweet from Rob Perez. He was like, you know, Harden's not going to pass the ball to Maxey. Maxey, I'm open. Harden, colon, nothing, you know? So, but it's been the opposite. Harden is like leading the league in assists, and Maxey thrives with him because it allows him to play on ball when Harden is out, but off ball where he has a little bit less pressure. You can hit him in transition. So I think Harden really helps him. The more interesting thing is that Maxey plays so much better when Embiid's out of the game because those driving lanes really open up for him. And he clearly takes it upon himself. He kind of intuitively knows, okay, if I don't look to score, we're just going to lose tonight because Joe's not in the lineup. He's not here to get us stops, and he's not here to carry us with free throws parade at the line. So I think the challenge is getting him going when both Harden and Embiid are out there. But otherwise, in the nights, as you've seen, like he just goes and gets buckets when Embiid sits.
Okay. And does he run a lot with like the second unit? Like when Harden and Embiid sit, if they're out at the same time, or is it more so just trying to get his with all of them in there?
Mostly playing with at least some of the starters. We have seen a little bit more of the experimentation with the stagger. So we did see some Maxey and bench guys. But I think he doesn't often get run without either Joe or Harden. But that makes sense because you want one of Harden or Embiid out there at all times when they're playing.
Absolutely. No, that makes sense. So we talked about all these guys right now and how they're all still trying to figure it out, how the roles have changed with all of them on the court. But the slow start, you know, it's kind of led to Doc Rivers being on the hot seat, especially with the talent that he has. You have James Harden, you got Joel Embiid. You know, you had a nice offseason. You know, you got Montrezl Harrell, P.J. Tucker. We talk about, you know, Daniel House being a solid defender at the wing position. And you still got Tyrese Maxey. Is there a little bit of a feeling right now that Doc has to prove it this year because there's high expectations? I mean, you look around the league, you got the Boston Celtics, you got the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, Brooklyn Nets have been, you mentioned it earlier, they've been fumbling out of the gate. But the Sixers are still considered a team that should be in that upper echelon, you know, top four teams. Is Doc's seat getting a little warm at this point, or is this like the year that he has to finally do something?
I hope so. I mean, I don't think he was the right hire when they got him. And I don't think he's been, you know, a top 15 coach in either of his last two playoff runs. If you want to take it further back, I think he's had some tremendous gaffes on the Clippers as well. I just tweeted out, like, what if Joel Embiid called Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard and straight up asked them, do you regret your team not moving on from Doc Rivers a little sooner? So there hasn't been rumblings that his seat is actually hot. I think it's more just heat from the fan base, particularly with the Eagles and Phillies balling out. It's like, mm-hmm. Yo, Paul Reed was just sparked a 9-point run, and then you were seen lecturing him, and he didn't play in the second half, and you couldn't stop the Wizards. So when you can't get stops and their other team is just running at the rim and you have a guy who in the first half got some stops and got a block and got out and ran, it's like, what did he do that made you think he shouldn't be back in the game, close the game with George Niang, who you and I might be a better combined defensive player than he is at this point. So he just makes some head-scratching decisions. He did it when Ben Simmons was here. He was playing him stubbornly with Dwight Howard at the same time for like 4 months. Just really weird things that he believes are good, sees that it's not working, but continues to do it anyway. And that's been a theme of his tenure of the last few years.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know, you say all that, and for Knicks fans, they're probably thinking right now, this is what we go through with Tom Thibodeau right now. You know, we have Obi Toppin who could be out there, or Emmanuel Quickly, or any of the young guys who have, you know, a nice run. It's usually, and it's been the same story since last season too, because last season, you know, after following up with Coach of the Year and helping the Knicks get to the four seed and making the playoffs after 8 years of not being in the playoffs, last season was obviously a down year because there was expectations. They tried to build on top of that. You get Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier, all these guys come in. Kemba Walker doesn't work. Julius Randle regresses from being the most improved second all-team NBA, being an all-star. His performance just regresses last season. And then you start seeing all these head-scratching rotations. You see all these, like, there's no real lineup changes. It was really like a hockey rotation for the most part. It's the same five in together and the same five for both units, the starting and the second unit. And we would see Obi Toppin, even some parts this year so far, we've seen Obi Toppin and Emmanuel Quickly really get into the groove, start to contribute. And then next thing you know, all these guys get a quick hook and you're like, what just happened here? These guys were going and these were points. And then you put in, especially last season, you put in the starters, Julius Randle, all these guys having Fournier. And the next thing you know, and we just had the similar thing tonight, actually. It was just very reminiscent of last season. We'd have a 20-point some odd lead in the second quarter. Third quarter would come around. The opposing team works their way back to catch up and then wins the game, which happened tonight against the Atlanta Hawks. And so I feel like you talk about like Doc Rivers making head-scratching decisions and reaming out somebody that probably doesn't need that much reaming out. And that's exactly Tom Thibodeau. And it's not shocking. I mean, they both, you know, won a championship together out when they were both with the Boston Celtics and they had the big three out there.
That's right.
So there's kind of like, you know, they're cut from the same cloth, you know?
They are a lot of corollaries there for sure. And if you look at the Sixers top players minutes per game right now, he's burning them out the way people complain Tibbs has done over the years.
Exactly.
And I've been complaining about it on Twitter. Like, you know, why are you treating James Harden 33 coming off two seasons of hammies like he's, you know, Anthony Edwards? I don't get it. Stop doing it. And I think both he and Tibbs also have the rep that they just don't trust young guys, even when the young guys are showing flashes.
And this is why we're here, Dave.
Yeah.
This is why we're here. And it's funny enough, we get this matchup on Friday. We get two stubborn coaches. We get some young guys that we want to see play. Actually, it's funny how you say Tyrese Maxey enters a rotation, you know, for a young guy to enter, it's like saved it with Emmanuel Quickly. These guys, Kentucky products, both enter very rigid coaches, want rotations, and it's just, you like what you see from them. So we got this matchup this Friday. We got the Sixers versus the Knicks, and they're in Philadelphia for this one. How do you feel about this game so far facing off the Knicks? Like, let's just rip off the Band-Aid. How do you feel right now? Are you feel confident that you could take the Knicks? You're questioning what the Sixers are going to do that night. What are your thoughts?
Well, I have this like cloud hanging over my head. Embiid's missed the last two games. So Knicks will be very much live in this game if he's out again. The Sixers have played better than I expected without him. And that gives me some hope for the minutes where he sits to maybe try some PJ Tucker at the five, maybe get Paul Reed going if Doc ever lets us, maybe Montrez picks it up. Because I do think maybe for the first time since Al Horford was around, I don't even want to talk about that, that maybe they have a solution for when Embiid sits that isn't a disaster this season. But if he does play, you got to like the Sixers' chances to get that win in Philly.
Yeah, Embiid would be a difficult matchup, especially for Mitchell Robinson. And I put that as one of the key matchups, you know, for one of them going to this game. If Joel Embiid plays, it's Joel Embiid versus Mitchell Robinson, the battle of the bigs. And we just saw, you know, from the Knicks side, we've seen Mitch go against Giannis Antetokounmpo, Steve Adams, and Jarrett Allen, and he struggled. Now, tonight he had a good night against Clint Capella. But definitely Joel Embiid's a different beast. We're talking about, you know, MVP candidate, top-level player, same thing with, like, Giannis. And even though, obviously, it's more than obvious that Embiid and Giannis have two different play styles, Embiid is just difficult because he's a strong guy who can work his back to the basket. And also he can extend the center away from the paint because he does take some three-pointers. What do you feel about that matchup between Mitch and Embiid?
I think over the years, as great as Mitch is, and Joe has given him props for his length and his timing, Mitch's biggest weakness is Joe's biggest strength, which is drawing sneaky fouls, you know? So Mitch goes for blocks and Joe knows it and he gets him on a couple rip throughs. He lives at the line and James Harden is no different. When the two of them play the Knicks, it's kind of a free throw parade because they know some of these young guys' tendencies and defensive liabilities. So they exploit that. And I expect to see some more of that. You remember your boy Jericho Sims really hurt the Sixers the last time we played them. And I was so impressed. I was like, how come the Sixers never can find a guy this good this late in the draft that they could actually play? So I would give him some run if I were Tibbs. That should be burned in Sixers fans' minds because he dropped a double-double on us like in minutes, short minutes.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've been wondering where Simmons is, because between Mitch and Isaiah Hartenstein, and we're going to get to the bench units too, you know, between Mitch and Isaiah, they both get a lot of fouls. They're between both of them, they're averaging over 3 personal fouls per game. So we've been asking for Sims to get out there, because if we need a rim protector and we need somebody who can grab some rebounds, that's, you know, Jericho Sims. But we've yet to see Sims get any substantial minutes yet. So maybe we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with Mitch. Hopefully Mitch can be on point this game against Joel Embiid, not get into foul trouble. You know, that's what we need right now, because he is our best rim protector. But let's hope for that.
That's tough with Joe these days, man. He puts anyone in foul trouble. You really have to do it with the way the Bucks and the Heat and the Celtics do it, which is just doubles and triple teams. Because one guy won't do it, but he does get – if you can get the ball out of his hands by doing some fronting and then double and triple, he will miss the read. And then he might settle for a tough shot the times he doesn't make the right read. So you get him to take worse shots. You get him to get a couple turnovers. And then you hit a couple pull-ups in transition. Maybe you run out when he's driven to the hole and fallen, because you know he falls a lot. Got to get out and run on all those. That's the recipe. Do the Knicks have the personnel to do it in Philadelphia? We'll see. But
well, it depends. It depends, especially when you got good shooting from James Harden. Tobias Harris is also a good shooter. So, you know, the Knicks' Achilles heel right now has been the perimeter defense and guarding top 3-point shooting. And I don't like between James Harden and Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid, do you have that many? Where the Sixers stand as a three point shooting team?
If you get them into the half court, and we saw this against the good teams so far, we saw this against the Heat in the playoffs, Celtics and Bucks to open the season. If you get them into the half court because you have good transition defense, which basically means you're scoring, forcing them to take the ball out of bounds. So you can set up, if you double Joe, he doesn't trust all of his shooters. You don't have to really worry about James Harden because he doesn't love to catch and shoot triples. Mm. You don't have to be terrified of Tobias Harris because he's not an absolute marksman. You do have to worry about Maxey, and then you don't have to worry as much about PJ Tucker because he takes very few threes in a game. So if you get him into that half court, then shooting becomes a problem. They go to their bench. You got D'Anthony Melton and Daniel House coming off the bench. They're not marksmen. And if Niang is out there, he absolutely is, but he's a sieve on D. So shooting is an issue for the Sixers team. And you talked about perimeter defense. On the flip side, the Sixers have had their issues with that. Obviously, trotting out Maxey, lineups with Maxey, Harden, and then basically no small forward because they've got Tucker and Harris both playing the four at the same time. So a lot of corollaries there.
So as a team, you don't have a lot of great shooters. But what's funny is that the 76ers, as of right now, from what I see, is that they're one of the better three-point shooting teams in the league. They're in the top 5. So
that's Tyrese. He's had a few Klay Thompson games where he just went absolutely nuts.
I mean, that'll do it.
Carrying it, yeah.
Do you buy the shot, or do you think it's just it's more fluky than it is?
No, it looks really, really good to me. It looks okay. Good. It looks better than it did at Kentucky. It is a little bit low. You know, like you see that release, and people talked about this with Emmanuel Quickley as well. Can he get that off the dribble? But because he's so fast, he's getting it off. Like you have to really respect the drive.
For sure. Absolutely.
Reminds you of Tony Parker a little bit. You have to play way off him. Otherwise, he'll just blow by you.
So has Tobias been playing the power? Because it's so interesting that Doc is running out small ball, because how is that going to match up against the Knicks, right? Because we're a traditional team between like height, size, and who everyone and the positions everyone plays, right? So if you're going to have PJ Tucker out there as your small ball 5 going against Mitchell Robinson, how's that going to work?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. It worked really well against the Toronto Raptors. They're known for being a little bit small in the front court. I mean, Siakam is playing unbelievably well, but who's their big then? Is it Precious? Is it Boucher? So it'll be tricky for them to try that with such a good lob threat like Mitchell. But I do expect Joel to be out there. I mean, he's playing with a non-COVID flu, missing 2 games. I guess I would bet on him being in the lineup. Maybe they will check his minutes. Maybe they'll try to keep him at 34 or less and trot out some more of that small ball stuff. if the Sixers can get stops and they can get the ball to Maxey in transition, then that's going to be a lot of trouble for the Knicks.
The Knicks are, you know, one of the top teams when it comes to driving into the paint and trying to score in the paint. Our three-point shooting has been up and down. It has not been consistent. So, you know, for the Sixers, you know, the game plan would be force them to shoot the three and stop them from getting into the paint. Because when they get comfortable in the paint, everything goes the way the Knicks want to do it. They do all their, you know, between Mitchell Robinson being a lob threat, Julius Randle liking his 15 to close so range. You have RJ who likes to get downhill as well. Even though he does take some threes and he's starting to find that jumper, it's starting to come along slowly but surely. He'll be going back and forth between hitting a three or trying to get downhill. And then Jalen Brunson, that's a three-level scorer. And that's the other matchup, I guess, would be Tyrese Maxey and Jalen Brunson. And I think that would be a really good matchup. Maxey's fast. You know, he's a very fast guard, likes to get downhill. You talk about his shooting has gotten better, but I think that would be more of a fair matchup because they're not exactly the same playing style. Brunson's a little bit more methodical.
That's the word I was going to use. They're pretty different in that, Max. He's like a blur. Jalen's comfortable bouncing the ball like in the paint amongst swarms of arms like three or four times, and he's just completely got his poise, whereas Maxey just kind of bull rushes.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. You know, obviously you're going to have your – you know, it's the front court, you know, between your bigs who's going to help support that. But I think that's going to be a fun matchup to see how that chess match plays because they're going to be guarding each other. You know, with Brunson's height and Maxey's height, it's similar enough. I don't think you're going to want Brunson on Harden. I don't think anyone else that you're going to have out there, you're going to want Brunson on. So that's the matchup that I'm going to be tuning in for. I think it's going to be a good one, both offensively and defensively. And then getting to the second unit, man, you know, Knicks have been known to have a good second unit. The next second unit loves to get out in transition. They love to move fast. They love to move in space, pace and space, all that stuff. How's the Sixers second unit been looking this season?
I think we came in the first couple of games and it was just absolute trash. And then when Joel Embiid missed time, they all picked it up. So we started getting good performances from D'Anthony Melton, who was playing better every night, more comfortable looking every night. Really, really capable two-way player, getting stops and then draining threes or finishing at the cup if you run him too hard off the line. But he's got a back injury now, so I actually wouldn't expect him to play against the Knicks. And he's one of the key bench pieces. Niang's been playing a lot, but that worries me, man, because he's one of the guys that Doc Rivers personally recruited to the team, I believe, like Montrez, where it's like, all right, this is a regular season innings eater for you. But players in the league know that Niang doesn't get a whistle. You really just go into him, initiate contact, he's going to fall or flail, and you're going to get the call, and it's free throw. So Tibbs should tell everyone on the Knicks, gun for Niang if you see him out there. The same right now for Daniel House. He's not getting calls. I don't know whatever it is. Maybe he's on some list. Maybe he offended an official. Anytime there's contact, the call is not working in House's favor. So definitely target those two.
Yeah, all we need is Scott Foster ref in this game, and then I'll make it all the more interesting. So what has happened to Shake Milton? Is he still in part of this rotation, or is he like starting to fall out?
He is still part of the rotation. It's actually... I don't really understand it. I kind of started on this path last year where I was like, play Isaiah Joe, who just rained buckets for Oklahoma because they let him go. I think Shake's kind of a jack of all trades. Like, he's got some handle. He can finish. He can shoot. He can play defense. That overall well-roundedness has bought him favor with Doc. You remember when Doc was still with the Clippers, Shake one time dropped like 38 points on him. And I think that is forever etched in Doc's mind. So he keeps playing Shake, even though I think that there's often a better case to be made for playing the specialist. If it was Joe, who's not here, was never in the lineup, if that's Matisse Thybul, that's kind of how I would do it. I think when you've got James Harden on a team, and we've seen this, Mike D'Antoni proved that you don't need any other ball handlers ever when James is out there. Mm-hmm. So the idea that you got to get Tobias and pick and rolls, that you need Shake out there as a secondary ball handler and minutes Joel's not in and Harden is, I don't believe it. I don't believe in it. I'm not sure that Shake should be part of this rotation. Obviously, it's fine tonight because you have no Embiid and no Melton. But moving forward, I think that he should have some competition for those minutes.
Okay. You know, I have faith in the Knicks second unit getting it going against the Sixers. I'm not, you know, I think the Knicks second unit has that versatility between defense and scoring, and more so on the scoring side. They got the length, especially now with Cam Reddish in the rotation.
Yeah,
although we did see Quentin Grimes get back on the court today, so that'll be interesting if he's going to get some minutes against the Sixers this Friday. But with Cam Reddish, who's just the word that we use around Knicks fan TV is tantalizing, because the things that he can do for a 6'8 guy is just very impressive. Very smooth, the way he can get to the basket.
You talking about Cam?
Yeah, Cam.
Yeah.
Pretty solid. It's just the consistency when it comes to Cam. Obi Toppin, you know, a guy that loves to move out in space. His jumper is starting to come around too. Very efficient, you know. Rebounding is where I need to see Obi just get better, but it's coming along. I like what Obi's showing. It's just an efficient and effective player, man. Every time he gets out on the court, he just gets an easy 4 out of 7. And you're like, all right, look at that. And it just makes the game look so easy. And I think that's because he knows how to move without the basketball, which he's done over at Dayton. And then you have Manu Quickly, who once he gets into rhythm shooting, just a difficult guy to stop. And Derrick Rose is just, you know, he's really changed his game from being that, obviously, that explosive guy that we used to remember in Chicago, now being that true facilitator and knowing when to attack defenses and just getting into the teeth of the defense to make something happen. Then Hartenstein, it's nice to have a change of pace for a center that can create some offense and bring out the center like further from the rim, unlike Mitch or even Jericho Sims. So I like how the second unit plays. It's definitely going to be, it's obviously the starters for the Knicks and trying to keep up with James Harden. And if Joel is healthy and Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey, that is the match. Those key matchups are the ones that we got to look out for. I think the Knicks second unit is actually going to be pretty solid against the Sixers.
Yeah, they can't underestimate that group because they can play fast.
Yeah, for sure. And they were one of the, like, I think it was last season, they were one of the more, I think they were top 10 efficient groups with Taj Gibson, I should say, because Nerlens didn't play last year really that much. But with Taj Gibson in there, instead of Isaiah Hartenstein, they were one of the more efficient lineups in the NBA. So,
yeah, Obi and Quick came out and teams were worried about it.
Yeah, and I still think that holds true to today. It's going to be a good matchup, man. It's going to be a good matchup. So I'm looking forward to this matchup, even though the Knicks, unfortunately, gave us some old feelings from last season. But before I let you go, Dave, let's get a score prediction over here. What do you think this final score is between the Knicks and the Sixers will be?
Oh, I'll say Sixers 113, Knicks 105.
Okay, I'm going to go. And the NBA has been pretty high scoring this season, which has been pretty interesting.
Yeah, I didn't check that. I didn't do any math. So.
No. It's all good. I'm going to go Knicks 106, Sixers 101. I think it's going to be a tight matchup. I think the defense, Tibbs is going to figure out this defense and get it going. If Grimes is there, if Grimes could be in that starting rotation outside of Fournier, I think that helps the case more so. But Dave,
if that's true, if the Knicks win by 5 and hold the Sixers to 1-1, you're going to hear a lot of boos for the home team.
Hey, amen. And if the Knicks lose, you're going to hear a lot of boos when they're on the way back home for Tom Thibodeau. So between Doc and Tibbs, someone's getting booed. Someone's getting some bad tweets on Twitter. It's all good, man. It's all good. That's how both these fan bases rock. Two passionate fan bases. But Dave, thank you so much for coming through, man. Really appreciate it. Please let the listeners know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me at David Early on Twitter, and my work is at Liberty Ballers.
Awesome, Dave. Thank you so much. And thank you, Knicks Nation, for tuning in for this Knicks at 76ers preview game of the week matchup. Make sure to hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure to hit that notification bell. That way you know when a new show, new post-game live weekly, whenever we drop, make sure to hit that notification bell. And look, if you can't listen to us live or watch these on YouTube, you can also find these podcasts on all audio listening platforms. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Amazon, Alexa, Stitcher, you name it. You can find them everywhere. All right. Thank you, Knicks Nation. All right. We'll catch you later. And let's go, Knicks.